May it please the court, I'm Anastasia Sandstrom, Assistant Attorney General, representing the Department of Labor and Industries. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Substantial evidence supports the board's finding that AEI used mechanical means to remove asbestos flooring, and this court should affirm the board for two reasons. First, the board considered the testimony and believed the inspector when he said that AEI used a saw to remove the asbestos flooring as shown by the clean edges, and so asbestos fibers were removed. Second, the board placed the burden of proof on the department, but it would not have erred by placing it on AEI. AEI was required to give 10 days notice of asbestos removal to the department unless it was removing the flooring intact. The board considered the testimony of the inspector and believed him when he testified it was removed not intact.
Can I interrupt? What does the board give any deference to the hearing judge?
No. Under the case law, in fact, there's a case, Stratton, the IAJ's ruling is, or the industrial appeals judge, it's a mere opinion, and the case law under Stratton, which is that when one when app something says is that you do not defer to the IAJ at all.
What kind of standard review do they apply to
the board applies the preponderance standard. So that they consider the IAJ's proposed order, but it's just a proposal. They don't have to follow it. And in fact, it's error, that was the Stratton case, to advise the jury of what the industrial appeals judge said. And here, the board considered the testimony that a saw was used to remove the asbestos flooring as shown by the clean edges. It was removed down to the joists with clean edges, and that showed that a saw had been used. That evidence must be construed in the light most favorable to the department. Now, AEI points to testimony about a Burke bar or a pry bar, but for three reasons, this makes no difference in this case. First, the inspector testified that it would be possible to use a knife to cut along the seams and then use a pry bar to remove the flooring. However, the inspector then clarified at CP 235 to 237 that it would be extremely difficult to use a knife because of the seams, and secondly, that if a pry bar was used, there would have been ragged edges. But there were not ragged edges. There were clean edges, which was his testimony that because there were clean edges, a saw had been used. Applying the substantial evidence standard, viewing that testimony in light most favorable to the department plainly wins. Now, the second reason not to consider the pry bar testimony is it's an unproven hypothetical question. AEI did not present testimony that said a pry bar was used. They would have had to have done that, and the board appropriately discounted that exchange because that was not testified to. Nor did they provide any other testimony of any other means to remove the flooring. All they asked were questions with no testimony to bolster it. But third, even if you accept their view that there were inconsistencies in the inspector's testimony, that was for the finder of fact to weigh. That's the court's decision in Henry Industries. It is only if there's a complete retraction of the opinion does this court basically take a case away from the fact finder. That's the Supreme Court in Venezuela's. So there was no complete retraction because the inspector said there weren't ragged edges. A pry bar would leave ragged edges, and there weren't ragged edges. So again, all of this just goes to routine substantial evidence weighing. Now, the board actually did not reverse the Superior Court did not actually reverse the board on the substantial evidence issue. That was on the other citation that the department doesn't pursue. It did accept AEI's argument that the board placed the burden of proof on it. Now, CP 17, the board plainly says we are placing the burden of proof on the department. That's the question before us. The board looked to the evidence that the department presented in its prima facie case, which would survive a CR 41 motion. That's what happens at the board. And the board thought they meant the prima facie case. It then shifted to AEI to rebut that evidence. The fact that they have to rebut evidence made in a prima facie case does not mean the board placed the initial burden on it as it contends. But the board would not have erred to place the burden on AEI. The department does not seek relief on that ground because we recognize we didn't raise that below. But this court will announce the standards for the Asbestos Safety Act.
But, can't the department do that through rulemaking? Why would you ask us to create that rule for you?
Because the court is considering the court is considering AEI's claim that the burden of proof is on them. So the court will have a decision that says, if you accept AEI's argument, that the burden of proof is on the department, rather, then people will follow that. But so you have the opportunity. You're at the intersection of people following what to do with the Asbestos Safety Act. And the Asbestos Safety Act, although it is enforced through WSHA, the Washington Industrial Safety Health Care Act, that is only for procedure, and that's what the statute says, 49-26-140. But this court in Spratt said that burden of proof is a matter of substance. And so then we go to the reasons why a court might want to place it, the burden on the asbestos remover, who has all the knowledge of when the asbestos will be removed, has all the power. And so they should be the ones that when they're releasing something very dangerous into the atmosphere, they should have to say, no, we did this right. So it's fair to place the burden of proof on them. With that, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Good morning. May it please the court, Trevor Osborne on behalf of Respondent Advanced Environmental Incorporated. Where I would like to start is to directly address the testimony that the department is focused on here, and that is counsel's recitation of clean edges. It's critical in this case that this court review the actual testimony of the inspector.
You agree there is no evidence from AES on actually how the boards were removed?
That's correct.
So the only thing there was a hypothetical that was never followed through on.
First, I would disagree with the contention that it's a hypothetical. It's clear, it's apparent from Mr. McClellan's testimony, the inspector, that he's testifying based on what he perceived through his inspection. And in addition, the focus of the state has been on the characterization of questions on cross-examination as hypotheticals. But if you look at the questions on redirect as well, the Assistant Attorney General then inquired into that very issue, and that gets to this particular question. This is at Clerk's Papers 236. The Assistant Attorney General on redirect asked the inspector, do you believe that a Burke bar removal could have been done here? The response is, the way it looked at the edges around there, I know something caused the floor to be removed, pry bars, etc., but it appears that they would have the cut around the edges, and I just didn't see ragged edges. It was clean edges. So possibly, I don't know. And if you review his testimony...
But that's a hypothetical.
Well, first, if you look at his testimony on direct examination, he's asked the question, and the focus, the thrust of his testimony is, was it possible for this to be removed intact? And he says no. What he says is, I'm only aware of two different ways to remove vinyl sheet flooring, and that is through peeling or cutting. And it's apparent if you look at his testimony that he's not aware of the possibility of removing intact sheet vinyl with a Burke bar. And so I think the characterization of hypothetical versus not hypothetical.
Why does that matter?
Why does it matter?
Yeah, why does it matter?
Well,
what's it material to?
It's material to his opinion. His opinion regarding whether or not the removal was performed.
Well, you're not impeaching his opinion with evidence that in the case that's contrary to his opinion. If it's not a hypothetical, then what does it matter?
Well, first I would say whether or not it's a hypothetical really goes to admissibility and not the sufficiency of the evidence as we're reviewing it for substantial.
Well, because
evidence.
A hypothetical question doesn't give rise to any substantive evidence, right?
No, that's correct. If it's a hypothetical, it doesn't give rise to substantive evidence, but it tends to undermine, and as the state has conceded.
So if it tends to, if all it is a question of credibility, why are we here?
I don't believe it's only a question of credibility.
Well, if it only goes to his credibility, then where are we? If there's no substantive evidence, if it doesn't present any substantive evidence, then it only goes to his credibility. But that's a matter for the trier of fact.
Yeah, and what we have here, which is as acknowledged by the state in the cases it cited, is we have effectively a recantation of an opinion here, which he initially says it's not possible to do an intact removal. Then he recants that opinion on cross-examination and redirect.
Well, who found that it was a recantation and who found that the recantation was credible?
Well, one, there was no finding of a recantation because, of course, the board ruled.
I mean, that's your characterization of what happened. I mean, he was given another characterization of what happened was he was given a hypothetical question, and he answered it in the way he answered it.
Yeah, and applying a sufficiency of the evidence standard, this court can certainly look at that as a fair-minded person would to evaluate whether or not there's sufficient weight evidence been presented to support the finding of a non-intact removal.
Well, but it's not substantive evidence, so it can't rebut other substantive evidence. So it only has to do with his credibility, and the decision maker found him credible. So where are we?
Well, we're in a situation where an expert has offered an opinion for which it appears he's not qualified to offer, and he has effectively recanted that. I recognize that there isn't a finding that he's recanted that testimony, but reviewing the record as a whole and you look at his testimony, it's clear that his opinion comes from a place of a lack of experience regarding this particular method of removal or floor removal methods in general.
But there is no other evidence contrary in the record. Other than his testimony and his view, there's nothing else for us to look at.
That's correct. We are only working off his testimony, and testimony that includes him contradicting his initial opinion that an intact removal was not possible.
But again, that's credibility.
I think it goes deeper than credibility.
Who testified that an intact removal was possible?
He did.
Oh, I thought he said he didn't. I thought you told me he said he didn't know.
No. So he says, clerk's papers 223. So if Advance claimed that they removed it intact and pulled the sheets up whole, wrapped them, carried them out the door without you being there, it's not a cleanest question, but ultimately, he says, it could be done, I suppose, the way that you're saying.
But the question starts with, if Advance testified that it pulled it, of method, right?
That's correct. If Advance claimed that they removed it intact, and then
and that Advance didn't make that claim,
well, they didn't
put on any testimony.
They made the claim, they didn't put on testimony. Then on redirect, he says.
Well, so what? I'm still not. So there's no substantive evidence that it happened that way. He had testified that it happened another way.
He testified that he wasn't aware of an alternative. And then he was presented with an alternative on cross-examination and redirect. And I'll give you another example from redirect. And do you have an opinion as to whether some sort of bar could have been used here to do an intact removal? His answer, this is Clerk's Papers 236, it's possible.
Well, anything's possible, right?
Sure. Well, his initial opinion was that it was not possible. And so I recognize that possibilities generally in the abstract are not proof of anything, but in a situation where his initial opinion relies on the basis that an alternative was not possible, this becomes relevant.
Let me ask the question, I guess, that really matters. When the taking of the evidence was completed, did you move to strike the evidence?
I did not.
Did anyone move to strike the evidence?
No, Advance was represented by a pro se before the board.
It becomes very simple. Did anybody move to strike the evidence? And the answer is no. So it's all there. And you're saying, as a matter of law, notwithstanding that it was admitted and not stricken, it could not be considered.
I'm not at all suggesting that any of the evidence that was admitted should not have been considered, could not have been considered. My argument is that considering all of the evidence and the ways in which the inspector contradicted himself, we don't have substantial evidence to support a finding that was a non-intact removal.
What's the difference between peeling and rolling? Nothing in the record explains that difference.
The difference between peeling and rolling?
Yeah.
I don't believe there's any evidence in the record regarding rolling at all. What the inspector initially testified to was that he is only aware of peeling or cutting as a mechanism for removing the floor.
And either one of those would disperse friable asbestos fibers.
That's what he testified to. But then what he also said is, with cutting, I would have expected the contractor to cut through the floor joists. The floor joists weren't cut through. And so the questions on cross-examination and redirect concern use of a Burke bar to pry up the floor. So it wasn't rolling to cut.
Pry up the linoleum? I guess I don't understand the hypothetical that was offered. How do you pry up, if you cut along the seams, how do you separate the linoleum from the wood?
Yeah, and the testimony there is you would take the whole piece of wood out without removing the linoleum so it's not disturbed.
Okay.
Thank you. We would ask that this court affirm the Superior Court in vacating the citation against Advance. Thank you.
The inspector testified at CP 222. I believe that it was removed cleanly to the walls and all the floor joists were left. I would think you would have to cut through the wood to the floor to remove that. He later testified that if to cut through the floor would release the asbestos fibers. Counsel then just read you testimony at CP 236, but he didn't read you the complete testimony. After he was asked about using the pry bar and answering, but it appeared that they would have to cut around the edges because he saw the clean edges, and I just didn't see ragged edges. I saw clean edges, so possibly, I don't know, possibly, again, that's not probable. He was then further asked, is it possible to get clean edges with a Burke bar? Not that I know of. So he stated in here, there are not ragged edges that you would get with a Burke bar. Now, I don't understand if you have ragged edges why that wouldn't disturb the asbestos fiber, but that's not in the record, or what the pry bar would do or how you could remove it intact, because there's no testimony about it, because AEI offered no testimony on this point. There is no recantation of the testimony, and it was really up to the fact finder to decide what to do with this series of questions. The board didn't give it much weight. We're not at a question here to say whether they could have discounted the inspector's testimony based on that, because that's not what they did. But certainly on substantial evidence review, all the evidence is viewed in the light most favorable to the department, and the department should therefore prevail as the party with the burden of proof at the highest agency level that considered the action. With that, unless you have any other questions.
Thank you.
Oh, I should say the department asks that you reverse the Superior Court with respect to this citation that's at issue and leave the other citation vacated. Thank you.
And that concludes the morning calendar. Court is in recess.